frivolous activities.
I'm very happy.
This is music from the group Society of Chemists. I caught up with them when they were busy recording some new music in the studio. Let's meet the members.
I'm Stephanie. I play tenor saxophone, flute, and some keys and a little bit of piano. And I write a lot of the compositions and arrange and produce.
I'm Jack Barrett, and I play all the various keyboards.
I'm Ben Ehrlich, and I play drums and some percussion.
And I'm Charlie Gruber. I play upright bass and electric bass.
Turns out Jack and Charlie go way back. They've been playing together forever. Then they met Ben during the pandemic and started playing with him often as well. Then during a fortuitous recording session, they met Stephanie. Charlie tells us the story.
We had this Black Market Brass session, and I've been playing in that group for 10 years. And we were doing this new record, and there's this one track where we had a bunch of saxophonists come in to do a sax choir at the end of the record, psychedelic sax choir. And I heard Stephanie's little sound check lick, and I was like, this would be perfect with the three of us, because it definitely had the modern fusion sound to it, which is what we've been striving for a while. And then you probably came over, a couple weeks after that.
And it started as more of a jazz thing, and then finally Charlie made the executive decision. He was like, I want this to be fusion. And I was like, yes, because that's what I was craving inside.
We are all kind of secretly thinking, ooh, it would be kind of fun to do some more electric things, mix it up a little bit. And then we all kind of realized we all wanted to do that. And then, and then we started doing that.
So long story short, don't be afraid to do what you actually want to do.
I asked them about their take on improvisation versus composition in this fusion style.
It's not this conscious decision, it has to be super composed, but I like when things are intentional and concise, and it's okay for a song to be 3 minutes. Charlie Parker's Night and Day is 2:56, and it's just incredible. So many songs, the 3 minute mark is just the sweet spot. And if something's 10 minutes and there's 5 minutes of soloing, that just doesn't quite speak to me as much. So, and I love classical music, and classical music is very composed, so.
Stephanie told me a bit about the process of how the band puts their music together.
So much of what I write, 90% of it, 95% of it starts at the piano. And I, try to capture something as concise as possible on the page and really get it written and looking good, 4 bars per system. And then with Panopticon, I brought it here, and it was actually a lot faster. And then Charlie and Jack and Ben kind of jammed on it a little bit, and it kind of took it down to this really cool groove zone that just really cooks and simmers. So that,
Yeah, I think when Stephanie came in the first time when we rehearsed, you brought a whole portfolio of probably 30 songs. And we started to... We'd meet once a week and we'd play through them, and then we picked a couple to try recording. And then when we had it, we're like, okay, we're going to record this. Then we really dove in and sort of worked out new arrangements and kind of puzzling them together into new ways that would make for a good recording.
Using the studio as an instrument.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is our favorite thing to do. And that's what we've been kind of, when we want to record, when we look at it, we're like, how do we want to add this? Do we want to do the C section again? Do we want to play the B section after the C, and sort of puzzle it together that way.
They told me more about their process in the studio, playing around with sounds and the ever-present problem of option paralysis and keyboard sounds.
We're lucky to use a studio here in Minneapolis, and there's an Oberheim that belongs to my friend, and the Moog Sub 37 is Jack's, and the Moog Model D is mine. And we've got them set up where we can just, when we turn on the computer, they all turn on as well. So then we can easily patch them into Pro Tools and then just kind of go from one to the other and efficiently overdub them. Throwing them in a tape echo or a nice reverb or something. That's the fun experimenting that we can do once the basic track is recorded.
One thing that works well with the four of us is we work very efficiently, and it doesn't feel like anyone gets too attached to their ideas. So we're very good at quickly deciding what's the way to go and all moving in that direction and just sort of thinking ahead instead of, like you said, getting pulled into option paralysis.
And that's the beauty of a group, is like you have that consensus, or like you have that, you know, it's easier to move forward. Whereas if you're just an individual with your own product project, it can be so easy to get bogged down in those aesthetic decisions because you're the only person making them.
As Society of Chemists work on recording more tunes, we've got a couple from them. One is called Panopticon.
I really wanted to exploit the low, you know, open string, low E on the bass. So I was like, okay, it's going to be an E minor. And then that melody kind of popped under my hands, my right hand, the piano. And then the bridge was kind of, you know, it had a good skeleton, but we needed something else. And like just before the session, I wrote this counterpoint line for the Moog. And then Jack played it. And that's like what really brought the song to life, was that counterline. There's this Martha Stewart interview, 60 Minutes Martha Stewart interview, and it's at like the height of her career in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And I had downloaded that and I had taken it into Logic and split that up, and then I put that into the Nord, and, you know, various keys would trigger various sounds. And we had a bunch of samples, but we ended up trimming it down to Frivolous Activities and Martha's I'm Very Happy, which, you know, she seems to really try to convince the interviewer that she's happy, and we're not sure that she's actually happy.
And where did the name Panopticon come from?
Panopticon is like where everyone is surveilling each other. So it's like, do we have any privacy? You know, we're just kind of watching each other. And it's that kind of ominous feeling that is represented by the bass line.
I asked Ben about the drum part in Panopticon.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the challenge with that tune is kind of just keeping the groove consistent and almost thinking of it like a drone as I'm playing it. Because I think part of what drives that groove forward is just the endless repetition. Mm-hmm. And what creates the tension there isn't, you know, anything flashy or crazy. It's, you know, just playing that consistently and playing it really, really diligently and making sure it's driving the whole time. Yeah, the other thing that we kind of worked on was just getting the toms to sound right.
Getting the drum sounds is always mm-hmm. a challenge.
Yeah, it's always fun, though. I love diving into that. But Charlie had these Ludwig toms with some really, really punchy kind of heads on them. And it just worked really well for this tune. So kind of tried to lean into that on the chorus when I was doing some of those bigger fills and whatnot.
Ben and I like to get together when we record music the day before or the morning before and kind of get all the drum sounds right. And from song to song, we'll change different drum pieces out, you know, a different kick drum, which we did that today with this mm-hmm. one we're working on today, and trying new things and new mic techniques. And that's how each of these starts, is with whatever the drums, however that is going to sound, then we build everything on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jason McGlone, too.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
He always does great work, and especially on drums. I always love the way it turns out when he does his magic.
Amazing. He's a mixing engineer we work with. I've been working with for 6 years now, and he's over at the Hideaway Studio in Northeast.
This is another track from Society of Chemists. It's called One Room Infinite, and I asked about the confusing time signature.
No, there's a lot going on. You're not wrong. There's a section of 21/8, so it's like 5-5-5-3-3. I hadn't broken it down until I took it to these guys, and then they were just like scientists breaking it apart, and I was like, oh, thank you. It's just great bringing charts to this group because they can just read it down. But there's this piano line that I had, you know, E major add two voicing that I had kind of like expanded and was kind of, you know, added some interesting rhythm to it. And I was playing through this line forever. This is like February 2020. And it just kind of sat around, didn't do anything. And I kind of moved it around a little bit, and it took forever to get like additional sections. But once those sections appeared under my hands, it kind of came together. And then I brought it to these guys, and the rest is history.
For me, this is Jack, the piano player. I already write a lot of music in complex time signatures, and my training is all like classical piano. So for me personally, that kind of stuff is just what I'm used to playing and have been playing pretty much the whole time, I guess.
That one in particular was a little bit difficult at first to get together just because there's, you know, quite a few time signature changes. And like that 21-8 section, there's a couple different ways you could think about it, you know, with the grouping of five, or you can think of it as all threes. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily the technical difficulties on it. I mean, some part of it is that, but it's also just deciding which way you want to look at it and which way you want to feel it is part of the process.
You know, we would take one of the sections and play it for 15 minutes and loop it, you know, and make sure we were solid on it and then move to the next one. And the other part that I want to say about this too is, you know, with all the, there's a lot of notes and it's really quick. It goes by really fast. So we wanted to make sure that we could turn it into something that would be digestible. So we added that tiny section, as we call it, with the, you know,
the flutes,
the flute and the higher register electric bass playing really delicate. And, that was one of my favorite parts of when we arranged this together.
I felt like I was picking up some video game influence on that tune, so I asked Stephanie about it.
Interesting. I mean, I grew up playing a lot of Nintendo 64. I was an avid gamer before I got into music, so maybe there's some of that. I also listened to a ton of electronic music, and I love classical music. So yeah, I mean, the triangle of jazz, electronic, and classical. And I love Lewis Cole, and he's definitely influenced by video game music. So
yeah. Well, we all probably grew up with video games. I kind of stopped playing video games when my mom challenged me when I was a kid. She said that she would help me, you know, get some lessons and invest in an electric bass if I back down on my video game hours. And I think when that happened, that's what. But you know, having any game with an OST with a fun soundtrack, it just sticks with you forever. And especially with YouTube, when people started to upload all those to the cloud, you know, you dig out some of these 90s soundtracks and realize that they're influencing without you even knowing it.
Yeah, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64.
Ridge Racer.
So we've got two tunes from Society of Chemists, and they're working on a couple more plus.
Now, since we're starting these two tunes, we're probably going to try to record a good 8 to 10 tunes before fall, I would say. And, you know, we're still deciding on how we want to release those, but it has been fun to do the AB single vibe and put it out. And we were happy that people liked these two, so we were thinking we'd just do that more often before we put out a record.
Thanks again to Society of Chemists for speaking with me, and I asked him for any final thoughts. Stephanie had a good one.
There's this Pat Metheny quote that I'd like to share, and just the first line. He says, "In my experience, almost any form of musical purism is very often a mask for laziness. Things are never as simple as a purist would have you believe."